Delmar Allen Hawkins says he was hooked with the name Dale after his first hit record, the insanely popular swamp rock blues classic Susie Q, misprinted his name on the record label. But after Susie Q slammed up against the top 20 pop charts in 1957, the 18-year-old musician much didn't care.
The cards that I got to use here, I've got three different sound cards I've got that I use when I start to mixing, because that's the key to it. The key to it is the sound.
That's a techno rave by Hawkins in his music studio, which opens the Pryor Center Arkansas Oral and Visual History interview 2 years ago. As you can hear, the musician, 71 at the time, was still very much obsessed with production and performing. He had engagements in Dallas, Cincinnati, and Atlanta in the weeks following. But during the three-hour interview, Hawkins, unless nudged, didn't much refer to his personal history. He did talk about being born August 1938 on a cotton plantation south of Monroe, Louisiana, to a family of sharecroppers. At age six, he spent part of a year with his paternal grandparents in north central Arkansas. They were working the timber mills. Downtime, Hawkins recalled, they'd gather to play music.
A Friday night or Saturday night was everybody would get together and put a kind of a wash tub out in the middle of the floor, and all of everyone gather around, and we'd play and sing, and they'd spit their tobacco in there, and had some great times as a kid growing up.
His dad, he said, played ace guitar as well as bass, mandolin, and fiddle. Hawkins attended school in St. Paul in Madison County, but was taken back to Louisiana to be raised by his maternal grandparents. His grandpa, a parish marshal, took him all around, exposing him to lots of culture.
Being a marshal, he could go in the saloons, is what they call saloons, and you'd have the front would be where the white people were, and then you swing the door, and you'd be where, and you'd hear Hank Williams sing "Love Sick Blues," and then on the other side, you go to Elmore James would be in "Dust My Broom," or some good classic blues. Plus the churches, people don't realize that all of the churches, with the exception of the Catholic and Episcopal, sang the same hymns, but sang it with different
just
feelings.
A little different, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's how you express the spirit.
Hawkins loved gospel church.
It was special, because basically whatever you hear, it comes from regardless of what kind of music it is. It's the feeling and the phrasing of that feeling.
Superman zoom 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 zoom. Superman zoom 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 zoom. But I got a funny feeling. Honey, hope you understand. 'Cause when I kiss you, baby, will it feel just like a Superman?
At 16 in 1953, Hawkins managed to join the Navy. He snuck in underage, he said, to get square meals and onto the GI Bill. He served 1.5 years fighting in Korea. He was assigned, he said, as a gunnery yeoman on a Navy destroyer. He was released early on a medical discharge after a fall. Back in Shreveport, Hawkins worked by day as a music store clerk and played music at night. In 1957, he recorded his first hit record, which turned out to be a bandstand favorite, Susie Q.
It took me 3 months to put that song together. 3 months. We'd play maybe two nights a week somewhere, to make enough money to do whatever we did, ace, stay away.
This in Bossier City.
In Bossier City. Because, see, we had no recording studios. All we had was a radio station there.
Of course, that was a big radio station.
Oh, yeah. KWKH was a big radio station. And all we had was a studio part. We had four microphones. We had four microphones. Then the staff. And then they had, we used RCA pods. You know, we were able to get down six takes of that song, having a good time. And the bad thing about it was, is nobody knew what to do after we got it cut. So we sent it up to Chess.
Checker, a subsidiary of Chess Records in Chicago, ended up producing it, a blues tune performed by a white artist on a black label. Hawkins' style was later coined rockabilly, a fusion of hillbilly rock. One reviewer claims Susie Q crackles with the manic energy of that restless time and conjures images of steamy southern nights. The song features a 15-year-old raving James Burton on guitar, along with Scotty Moore, Joe Osborne, Ruby Cannon, Fred Carter Jr., and Kenny Paulson. Susie Q launched Hawkins' performing career, who traveled doing package shows, as they were called, up to eight acts on the same bill. Hawkins told Prior Center interviewer Bob Cochran, it was a crazy good time.
Ran into some of the greatest musicians and people that I ever met in my life. I consider myself a lucky person to have been able to have associated and was able to hang out with some of those guys.
With both the Chess family and with Sonny Boy Williamson and Muddy Waters.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And anybody wants to bother you, just call Wolf. Howlin' Wolf's head was as big as he could put a harmonica in his mouth and sing and play too. Now you quit laughing, girl. That's the truth.
Susie Q was later recorded by the Rolling Stones in 1964. Hawkins reportedly hated the version. And Creedence Clearwater Revival recorded an 11-minute psychedelic version in 1968, crystallizing it for yet another generation.
We went back to Shreveport to cut a La Dudada, which was the second biggest hit I ever had. I had my own TV show. I got it was 1959. It was on CBS in Philadelphia.
Hawkins toured the East Coast in the 60s, playing stellar clubs like Birdland, got married, then returned to Louisiana to focus on production.
The only thing I knew how to do, and I really loved, was produce. There was a group that came to me down there, and the name of the Uniques.
A hit song not too long ago by the Uniques. He also produced Western Union by the Five Americans and Everybody's Talkin', performed by Harry Nilsson, the theme song for the film Midnight Cowboy. Hawkins and his family relocated to Fayetteville, Arkansas in the early 80s after visiting family in St. Paul. In 1999, he appeared at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival, at the time releasing his first album of new material in 30 years on Mystic label called Wildcat Tamer. Rolling Stone music reviewer gave it 4 stars. Hawkins did a follow-up appearance at the Chicago Blues Festival, attending a historic reunion of Chess recording artists. Hawkins was inducted into the Louisiana Hall of Fame in 1999 and the Rockabilly Hall of Fame in 2000. In 1997, he started his Hawk's Nest recording studio in North Little Rock, where he continued to produce until his death.
It wasn't, how long you, when you going to stop, Mr. Hawkins? When I drop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm recognized for what I do.
For producing as well as,
Yeah,
you don't want to be the sort of Archie Bunker of music where you're remembered for Susie Q and that's
and
it.
And that's it, yeah. There's no gender for my music because I can you throw me in the middle and I can come out with just about anybody, mm-hmm. you know,
sure.
as far as is that part is concerned. You know, I had two pop hits, but the main thing was I liked to do it. It was just a want-to thing and to be appreciated and to be liked for what you did and feel good about it, you know, because it sure beats the hell out of picking cotton, you know.
¶¶
Hawkins died February 13, 2010, in Little Rock from complications due to colon cancer. The Al Hawkins produced one more CD before he died, titled Back Down to Louisiana. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.